Well, hello, Rom Book Pod listeners, and hello, Melinda.
Hey, Mika.
We are back, and it's just us causing massive amounts of trouble, as usual.
As always.
And this episode is going to be released, like, on my birthday month, so I am really excited about that.
Ooh, birthday months are the way to go.
It is. But you know what I'm not? Do you know what I'm not getting for my birthday?
I can't even imagine.
I'm not getting a marriage of convenience, that's for sure.
Oh, well, that's too bad.
So that is our trope of fake relationships and marriage of convenience and pretty much everything in between. And when thinking about this, when thinking about this trope, I realized that I don't think that I could be in a fake relationship, and it's for a really good reason.
What's that?
So when I was in middle school, I decided I wanted to go by my middle name and like by a shortening of my middle name. And every time the teacher would take roll, she'd say the name. I would forget that that is the name that I said I wanted to answer to. And so by the time the school year ended, I almost failed the sixth grade because it showed that I was just like not there for that class for the majority of the class. And I decided that if I can't even remember to go by like a nickname, how the hell am I ever going to pull off a fake relationship?
You know, I feel the exact same way. I have this conversation about, you know, people who pretend to be one thing. I'm all about being honest all the time just because I cannot keep track of lies. Like, who has time for that?
I can only lie if I don't have, if I'm like on the phone. And so, you know,
and you only can keep track of it for like 5 minutes.
She's not here. Exactly. Right? Oh, she's not here. I'm her roommate, Liz. You know?
Yeah, I can't keep track of lies for more than like 2 minutes. So I do not have time for, or I could not be in a fake relationship for the same reason. I can't keep track of all of that. So I would be a disaster.
I would be messing up the story all the time. Like they'd constantly just have to like drag me into like the kitchen or the closet or something. Like, no, that's not the story. I told you what the story was. You brailed it out on these index cards. Read the damn things. Come on.
Or you would be that side character screwing up the story for the main character.
Yes. Like and I would, because I'm like super annoying when I go to other people's houses and I want to talk to, like, you know, I'll talk to their family and the mom and the dad and just talk to everybody. Oh, how are you doing? How are the kids? Well, you know, like, oh my God, I'm so excited. You know, Teresa and Scott just met like a week ago. What do you mean they just met a week ago? I mean, it was a week in my heart. It was been like 7 months. You know, it's been long enough. It's been long enough for them to almost make a baby. But, you know, look, it's a week in my heart. What is time? What is time but an abstract concept? That would be me.
Okay, the thing is that I can completely imagine that happening.
So nobody wants, if you have a fake relationship, tell me before we get there, or I need to know what the parameters of the conversation are so I don't ruin it for you.
Yeah, I would be a disaster.
So here's a question I have. What do you think, like, what is the unacceptable reason for a fake relationship?
What are the what?
Like, what are the acceptable reasons for a fake relationship? Like, why would it seem like it's so important? Because I would just as soon be like, okay, so I'm not married. Like, back off, leave me alone. You know,
it depends on the subgenre. I mean, okay. In contemporary, I feel like anymore, I feel like, you know, there's really the best reason for me is insurance. Because I'm always okay, sold. I 100% will believe that in a second that someone would need health insurance. So I'm like on board immediately for that one.
Okay, truth.
But when there's historical, there's like 18 different reasons, and I can usually, you know, I'm on board usually for all of them. There's, you know, or there's like the classic, you know, princess needs, you know, an heir for some reason. I don't know. There's so many different reasons. You just have to, there's in different subgenres, there's different reasons. What works for you?
I don't think it works as well for me in contemporary because I'm just like, well, why does it matter? Like, why do we have to pretend like we're dead? Unless I was specifically trying to piss someone off. And I am that level of petty that if I, you know, if I had an ex and he was a real jerk and, you know, and then for some reason I have to like go to the same holiday party that he's going to or whatever, then I absolutely would bring a fake date with me to flaunt it in his miserable face. So, well,
and see, then there's marriage of convenience or fake relationship. So for marriage of convenience, I have different parameters because then, you know, then I can really in contemporary think insurance is really one of the only things I can really see. But then just fake relationship, oh, I have a whole bunch of reasons, you know, just making an ex mad, or you just don't want to go to a party alone. You want to, you know, get your relatives off your back. I have a whole bunch of reasons that I can understand where somebody would want to fake it in a relationship like that.
You know, that makes sense because I don't typically like to go to parties like by myself. I will, but I don't always want to. And having someone to bring along with me is great. I think health insurance is probably the only reason that it would work for a marriage of convenience in a contemporary for me. And I think maybe it's just because like I'm just too happy being single. Like I am a commitment phobe. So even like the mere thought of marriage is enough to send me running. So
right. And I have examples of ones that actually worked for me, which, you know, okay, in contemporary, but you know, then when I say out loud, oh, they're not going to work for me, but then I read it and I'm like, wait, okay, I lied. This author, you know, completely made it work. So I don't know what to tell you. Again, it's just, if an author convinces me, I guess I'm just easy when it comes to these things.
me too. Same. Now, I think that marriage to convenience, for my historical hating self, I love it in Westerns.
Yes.
I love it because, you know, like everybody's getting something. Everyone's getting something out of it of equal value, I think. And so, you know, maybe like someone needs someone to look after their kids. And then the person that gets married needs a place to stay. And this also works very well if someone is hiding out from someone else. So from a villain. So that works really well for me there.
Yeah. All good reasons.
And then, you know, like my kingdom is about to be dissolved. And so, but you have the money. So if we get married, that would work for me.
Okay. So funny enough, one of the recommendations I have is a contemporary that has that, but it has a very old school feel to me, but it's a contemporary.
Ooh, so is this one, what is it?
It's Lush Money by Angelina M. Lopez. And I super loved this book. And it's about this, Roxanne is the self-made billionaire. So the female main character is the billionaire, which obviously had me like immediately in love with right away.
Word. Yes.
And she wants a baby because she just has like no love in her life. And she, you know, which again, not exactly a great thing, but the author, Angelina M. Lopez, like she has this way of like playing with all these old school, you know, 70s and 80s traditional romance tropes and kind of turned all of them on their head, which I really loved. And so she, Roxanne wanted a baby. And so she went to this king of the Spanish principality that was on the verge of bankruptcy. And they had a prince whose name was Mateo and said, basically, I will rescue your principality if we do this marriage of convenience, and we'll do, you know, a contract where we spend 3 nights a month together and he gets me pregnant. So
okay,
it's very old school romance, but it's contemporary, and it had a very telenovela feel to it because it was, you know, in the Spanish principality. And I did not read it as dub con or non-consensual, but I know that some people did in the beginning because Mateo was not super on board with it right away. But eventually they obviously fall in love, and there's an HEA, and
yay.
Roxanne has this really rough shell, and this was her debut, and it was just a really great book, and I just loved it so much. It was, it really played with the billionaire off a whole trope and completely did it backwards with Roxanne being the tough shell, and I loved it so much.
I've seen people talking about this book, and I actually put it on, I put it on my radar because anytime that the woman gets to be the billionaire, I'm like, yes.
Right. I always give, you know, just a full warning that some people didn't read it the same way I did, but, you know, I loved it. I felt like it was playing with a lot of tropes, and I just thought that it was wonderful. So it really
worked for me. Well, that's awesome. What are some themes about, like, surrounding the marriage of convenience, especially that you really like? Like, I know, like, how long, remember our formula about enemies to lovers? How much of it, like, when do they have to start falling in love for you? Like, when do they have to start going from, okay, I'm just doing this because it's convenient, to, oh my God, I'm starting to have feelings, to, whoa, I'm in love. I did not expect this. What?
Oh, I don't know. I guess it depends on what other trope it combines it with, because there are some fake relationships that also deal with, you know, like the friends to lovers too.
Oh, mm-hmm.
So it depends on which other trope you combine it with. I would say if it's just straight up marriage of convenience, I would say they have to start having that, those feelings. They have to catch those feelings by at least 50%.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing you're earlier.
50%. No, I am earlier. I'm right there. I'm with you. I'm with you at about 50%.
What? We agree on something?
We do.
That's shocking.
We do. I know. And hilariously, for someone who is not great at math, I sure do have some complicated formulas for everything. I like it because it is, I feel like for the most part, at least from books I've read, you know, that marriage of convenience, it's almost like you almost have to, maybe you don't always have to start at it, friends, but at least there seems to be like less animosity in that trope than I have seen, like, where other tropes are concerned.
Right. Yeah, I have another one that is, it's not marriage of convenience so much. It's a fake relationship one that is friends to lovers. That's really cute. And I think it did, I think it was probably right around the 50% mark. Maybe it was a little bit early, but it really worked well. And I think it was because they were friends first. And it's A Fake Girlfriend for the Chinese New Year by Jackie Lau, which I love her titles. And again, she's another.
She has great titles.
I know. She's another author that plays with tropes so well. And he is sick of his family setting everyone up in his family. And so he wants to, like, you know, make sure that they don't even get the chance to for Chinese New Year. So he asks his friend to, you know, start dating him before Chinese New Year so that his family thinks that he has a date for it. And so they start going on
dates. That's great.
Yeah, and it's so cute because the whole town is like a small town, and they're all, the whole town like gets in on it in the sense that they're all like, oh, like you're dating this person. And so like his family gets wind of them dating before he even has a chance to tell them. And so then obviously the girl that he dates obviously already had a crush on him because ops. And so then obviously they fall in love and they have an HGA and it's super cute. But I would say it's probably 50% that they started catching feelings for each other.
So I haven't read a lot of fake dating books, but in the ones that you have read, do they ever like come clean, or is it more like, okay, now we have morphed into now we're dating for reals and so we won't tell anybody about our little deception.
Oh, this one is so cute the way she does it. So in this one, so the guy's name is Zach. And so he tells his parents that it was all fake. And so then basically the town finds out that it was fake. And so basically they have to deal with the entire town gossiping about them and how dating, but it's really funny. And so basically then they're dating for real. And so when they go out on dates for real, they have to hear like their waiter and waitress, you know, talking, oh, look, so-and-so are dating for real, but no, I thought they were just fake dating. No, but they were before, but now they're actually dating. So I just that's great. Really funny.
Oh, that sounds so cool. And it sounds like, you know, all the books that you mentioned by Jackie Lau, just, they sound really fun and pretty hilarious too.
They are. I really like her and the way she, I just think her writing is really cute, and she always deals with mental health issues really well. And her family dynamics are really cute. I just think her writing it's cute. And I really like her books just in general. They always make me happy.
That's awesome. So there's been a book that has been mentioned a couple of times that I am really interested in reading that I have not yet read yet, but it sounds so much like so much fun. It is, it's called Take Me Home by Lorelei Brown. And it is,
but I have not read.
And Lily from Twitter has mentioned it. And then she mentioned, bleh, I cannot talk. And then she mentioned it to me again. But it is basically about a woman who goes, she has to go home for family dinner. And so she brings another woman to go home with her to piss so that they could piss off her fundamental family. And
which sounds amazing.
Yes. I'm already in. I'm rooting for them all the way. And then at some point they like rescue / kidnap a dog so together. And so I was like, okay, I'm in.
Okay, this sounds like someone on our Twitter timeline would be doing this.
Yeah, I know. Doesn't it though? If they get caught, we just have to crowdsource their bail. Well, see, Twitter timeline, we got you. We'll help you out.
Okay, I'm gonna have to buy this book.
Yeah, doesn't it look good? And I know I bought it when it was mentioned, but you know how the to be read pile is on the Kindle.
Ridiculous. I know, mine is just out of control. But yeah, that sounds good.
And it has all the, it has a lot of fun tropes that it looks like it'll be really great. And it's FF, which I have not gotten to read enough of. So I'm all over that. Do you have some other suggestions for your marriage of convenience?
Oh, Mika, I have a ridiculous amount. I'm going to try to keep it to a minimum, but I, again, did not think I was like, oh, I don't read a ton of this trope. And then I was like, wait, apparently I do. I did want to mention, so Appetites and Vices by Felicia Grossman. This is a historical. It was her debut and it was so good. It's an Own Voices Jewish historical, which we do not get enough of in romance.
Oh my and gosh.
It was delightful. The female main character is this upper class, high society banking heiress. And she was one of those female main characters that we both love. She was just what a lot of people would call just, you know, too much and just a lot, which obviously mm-hmm. I love her.
Yes.
And so she wants to marry her best friend, Hugh, and his parents do not approve of her. And so she's trying to get their approval. And so she does like a fake engagement with this other guy to get their approval. And of course they fall for each other. But then the guy that she does a fake engagement with, Jay, turns out to be an opium addict. And it's like this super complex and layered book. It was so good. I just loved it a lot.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah, I highly recommend that one. It was really good, and I just think that she's a really talented author. So I definitely recommend that one. And then another one I really want to recommend is Private Eye by Katrina Jackson, who I super love.
I love her Twitter.
Her Twitter is great. But her books are even better, I would say. Just saying.
Okay. All right.
I started reading her last year, I would say in 2018, and then this year I finally have gotten through all of her backlist, and now I have like pre-ordered all of her like future books that she has. She's got like 3 books coming out in the next couple of weeks, and I am like ridiculously excited.
Wait, 3 books?
Yes, three I'm so books excited. In 2 weeks? Oh, wait, this episode is coming out. So
space-time continuum.
Time is confusing. But so Private Eye by Katrina Jackson. It is in the series The Spies Who Loved Her. And this is the cam girl. So Maya is the heroine and she is a cam girl and she loves her work. She's super confident and into it and loves her body. And one of her clients, his name is Kenny. But he's actually a spy. And so he's actually working to take down a criminal. And Maya doesn't know this. And so he finally has to let her in on all of this. And then they end up having to work together to take down the criminals. And to take them down, they have to, of course, pretend to be a couple. And then they have, like, oh my gosh, the most fiery chemistry that, like, burns off the page. It's ridiculous. Her writing, oh my gosh, it's just her writing, her chemistry for all of her couples are just, it just jumps off the page.
So is this like romantic suspense?
Yeah, like this series is, she doesn't write, like not all of her books are, but this is The Spies Who Loved Her are, but it's like almost erotic romantic suspense.
Okay.
So, which, I mean, it's excellent. I highly recommend basically everything she's written.
And I know I have some of her books too. So I'm always,
I would not even doubt it because I'm always shouting about them. And then real quick, I just want to say that Didn't Stay in Vegas by Chelsea M. Cameron. It's FF and it's great. I know I recommended her before. It's super cute because these two best friends go to this bachelorette party in Vegas and they wake up married and they tell
as you do.
Yes, obviously. And they tell all their best friends that they got a divorce, but just joking, they really didn't. And one of them was secretly in love with the other one and around, I think probably 50 to 60% the other one realizes it. And basically the entire book was me screaming, like, just wake up and realize that you're in love with her. Like, it's just super cute. I love her writing too.
I'm really upset that I've been to Vegas twice and there's been nothing, no like one night stand that turned into like a fake relationship and I woke up married. No, nothing. Like, what the hell? What am I doing wrong?
And Mika, if it would happen to anyone, I feel like it would happen to you.
That is so true. I go to Vegas. All I get is complete and utter like sensory overload from all the sounds and all the smoke and all the heat because I've only ever been in the summer. And then I just get lost in the casinos and it's hard to find my way out, which thankfully, you know, now I know that everybody has a problem finding their way out of casinos.
I actually went to Vegas and I had a fake relationship story of my own when I went to Vegas. I am like living in a romance book. Look at that.
Ooh.
So when I was dating my now husband, we had only been dating for a couple of months, but my work at the time flew everyone out to Vegas for a Christmas party. And it was everyone and their significant other or spouses. And so I told Alan, I was like, okay, listen, we are engaged because we want a trip to Vegas, clearly. And so they paid for us to go to Vegas. And so when we were there, we obviously were like, okay, we're engaged. So
this is amazing.
We pretended, I mean, this was like, we've been married for 10 years now. So we pretended to be engaged the entire time we were there.
That is so great.
But we did not wake up married. So, I mean, I'm just saying.
Okay.
It did not end up, you know, the way it would in a romance book. So there's that.
No, it's fine. It's fine. You're like a novella. It's good.
This is true. This is true.
I'm trying to think if I have ever done, because you're absolutely right. Like, if this would happen to anybody, it would happen. It would happen to me. I mean, like, I dated some dudes off of Craigslist once, but I don't think that counts. So.
Oh, Craigslist. That's going back there, Mika.
Look, past Mika needed someone to sit down and talk to her about her terrible choices. That was when you could actually go on Craigslist and look at the personals. They have taken those down. You can't do that anymore.
Oh my gosh, you're taking me back. I remember those days. I feel old now. Stop it.
Same. Me too. Do you have any fantasy or paranormal romance marriage of convenience by chance?
I have one by a mutual favorite of ours, because I know that you love her too. You know how I love Holly Trent.
Yes. Wow. I really
can't help it. She's just, oh, I love her. One of her books in the Masters of Maria series is a marriage of convenience, Coyote's Bride. So it's Masters of Maria number 6. I love anything Holly Trent writes. This one was really great. So this one has Lily and Lance, and funny enough, this is paranormal, but they wake up in Vegas married to each other as well. Just saying.
Wow.
This happens in the paranormal world too. So they wake up married to each other and they're in the process of getting a divorce, and, you know, things happen and they don't exactly get a divorce, but whatever. And they fall in love, and Lance is the lieutenant of the Coyote Pack. And Lily is the descendant from shapeshifters, and she's the cousins to cougars. So, you know, and I remember when I read this book, so much, when you read a Holly Trent book, especially her paranormal, so much stuff happens. You know, there's a marriage of convenience going on, but there's also just so much other stuff happening. I love this book. There is a content warning that there is, Lily has a miscarriage, so just forewarning. But I thought that the author handled it really sensitively, and I thought that it was done really well. And I'm sensitive to anything dealing with infertility or pregnancy, and I thought she dealt with it very beautifully.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. I love Holly Trent so much. I love her books, of which she has a million of them.
She does have a million of them.
And she has so many like interconnected series and things like that. So they are really, really, they're really, really fun. You can't go wrong if you're reading Holly Trent at all.
She is the only author who has a whole folder in my Kindle.
Whoa.
I went through and bought almost every book of hers, and now it's like my break in need of emergency folder. And I do. I go through and I read them whenever I'm in desperate need of a fabulous read. So
that's great. Yeah, and she does that whole marriage of convenience and that fake dating thing so well.
I just love her. So she's got some great contemporary paranormal. She's got something for everyone.
See, even shapeshifters are out here waking up in Vegas. I married. I am clearly missing out on something. I don't know what it is. I'm going to have to like work on my game here.
You're going to need to meet the right wolf shifter. That's what you need.
Clear something. You know, this whole like having a guide dog, you know, dogs are like real, like they're real people magnets. And so I've always said that like my marriage of convenience is just probably going to be from someone that I met while I'm like bent over picking up poop. Like that's just
trouble needs just, to get better at whatever she's doing.
Like I'm gonna just marry someone. Oh, you know, it's for the dog. We needed to get together because of the dog. So he'll be like a veterinarian or something.
That sounds good to me.
So this has been really fun. Do you have anything else that you want to add about marriage of convenience or fake dating?
I don't think so.
Okay. I will just say that this is a fun trope. I think that some of the things that you really end up getting out of it is that this is one of those tropes where you really get to see the beginning of feelings from start to finish. You know, it's not like sometimes how some books you come in and you start reading and it's like, you know, instant love, like bam, we're in love, or, you know, oh, it's such a long, slow burn, or, you know, it's a romantic suspense. And so all of a sudden we both caught feelings, you know, halfway through. This is something where you really kind of get to see, you really get to see the journey of love from beginning to end. And so by the time there's like a super romantic gesture that needs to happen, I think it's one of those tropes where you really get to be fully invested, and it's very easy to believe in their ATA.
Yep. 100% agree.
And I can only do fake dating on the phone. So if I'm on the phone, not looking at somebody, I will be more than happy to tell somebody why, yes, we are absolutely dating. We love each other very much. We just got engaged. And yet we did meet last week. I mean, last month. No, I mean, 18 months ago. We've been together forever. I wanted to also let you know that I have a Twitter shout out.
Yay! Who was it this month?
So for this month, it is Calla Lily, and we will have her Twitter and her blog in the show notes, because I am horrible. I can't remember it right off the top of my head. But she goes by Calla Lily. She is she has a blog where she writes about disabled characters in romance. And since we trashed the shit out of Jane Austen books last month, I think it's really great that her blog is called Sense and Disability. And I love it.
Oh, that's awesome.
She has really great, She has really great threads. Most recently, she watched some holiday movies. One of which was like is one of those, like, you know, Hanukkah and Christmas, and how much did these people actually know about Hanukkah when they decided to write this movie? And so she did a whole thread on like a live tweet of both movies that she watched. So I do believe that she is Jewish, and it was really great to kind of see her take on these movies. And her blog is really great, and she's just a really, really fun follow, and I really appreciate her reviews about novels that feature characters with disabilities, because she talks about the novels that very often get it wrong, and she talks about the ones that really get it right. So again, her name is Calla Lilly, and we'll make sure that she is in the show notes for the podcast.
Excellent. Thanks for that rec.
Of course. So thank you guys for listening. We really appreciate it. We love our ROM Book Pod listeners. I always struggle in not calling it ROM BK Pod. It's a struggle, because sometimes I'm like, ROM BK Pod. Book Pod. That's what I'm talking about. I think by the time this comes out, it will be very close to Valentine's Day. So, if you want, go find you a fake relationship and let us know.
But don't wake up married in Vegas unless you want to.
Unless you want to. And usually it happens to people who are drunk. So don't marry in Vegas. Don't wake up married to anybody. Enjoy not being married. Or happy Valentine's Day. I'm terrible, Melinda. Can't take me anywhere.
No, never.
All right. Until next time, listeners. Bye.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of ROM Book Pod, Inclusively Yours, a new weekly podcast celebrating inclusive romance one trope at a time. If you'd like weekly recommendations for inclusive romance, please take a moment to subscribe. You can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest at RomBookPod. That's RomBkPod. Thank you for joining us, and until next time, happy reading.